Welcome back to yet another Talking Lamar. On today's episode, we are talking about one of the biggest action stars of the last 47 years, Sylvester Stallone.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
You know, his real name is Michael Sylvester Gaudenzio Stallone. And, of course, he's nicknamed Sly. He was born in Hell's Kitchen in New York City on July the 6th, 1946, and he has a brother, Frank. Now, that famous lip droop that he's got, that's the result of some really slight mishandling at birth. When Stallone was born in Manhattan, the physician used a pair of forceps to deliver him, and then it sort of slipped in his hand, and it left his lip and his chin and part of his tongue partially paralyzed due to a severed nerve. So Stallone later, yeah, it sounds like it hurts, doesn't it? But Stallone later said that his face and awkward demeanor earned him the nickname Slivia. And authority figures told him that his brain was dormant. And this really burdened him with low self-esteem. He felt terrible. So what he did was he turned to bodybuilding and later performing as a way of breaking through what seemed to be a consensus of lower expectations. So everybody thought he was just, you know, he had some sort of slowness or something. But as he grew up, it was sort of a volatile household, I think, and from what I read. And Stallone's parents separated while he was still a kid. His father was a beauty salon owner, and his name was Francisco Stallone. And he was pretty big on corporal punishment. He would smack his young son around a good bit for misbehavior. But on the same side, Stallone was once caught swatting flies with a lead pipe on the hood of his father's brand new car. So okay. I'm not so sure I might not have backhanded him myself. I don't know, you know. But his mother, Jackie Stallone, she is an American astrologer, former dancer, and a promoter of women's wrestling. And he once described her as half French and half Martian. She later grew interested in the study of rumpology. Now, the study of rumpology is the study of the buttocks to reveal personality traits and future events of your life.
According to Jackie, You just made that up.
Listen, that's real. According to Jackie Stallone, the left and the right buttocks reveal a person's past and future, respectively. And so she also says, to explain this, the crack of your behind corresponds with the division of the two hemispheres of your brain. So your butt and brain look alike. They're split in half.
But is that where the expression your brains are in your ass comes from? Maybe Jackie Stallone's on to something, Lamar.
Now, listen, she's not
I'm just going to need you to tell me this again. Because I want to make sure. I feel like I've tried everything to improve myself. Okay. I want to make sure. Tell me again.
Think about it. All right. This makes perfect sense. The left half and the right half of your butt, they correspond to your brain. You have a left brain and a right brain. You got a left buttock and you got a right buttock. So if they can look at your butt, they can tell things about you for tell what's going to happen to you in the future.
Okay.
I can't say it with a straight face.
I'm working with you. I am. I'm trying.
She's got some backup. There's a according to this blind German clairvoyant, and he's also a rumpologist. His name is Ulf Buck. And he says an apple-shaped muscular bottom indicates someone who is charismatic, dynamic, and very confident and often creative. Evidently, baby got back. I mean, I don't know. But he says, he also claims that even though he's blind, he can read people's futures by feeling their naked buttocks. Oh, I bet he can. I bet he can.
Wow.
Is anybody where Sylvester Stallone came from. These people. This is who raised him.
Is anybody still?
We're just getting started.
We're just getting started.
Okay. I've got more.
What is only $4.99 a month but gives you such pleasure? That would be the Bob and Sherry Premium. Exclusive content from the show, including our classic chat room calls and best of CDs. You'll get behind the scenes photos and videos of not only us, but our listeners. It's a lot of fun. Just $4.99 a month. And the website to get all of this is bobandsherry.com/premium.
His parents filed for divorce in 1957 when Sylvester was still 9, and he stayed with his father for a few years, but he had even more traumatic teen years. He was expelled from 14 different schools for his behavior problems. That's a lot, isn't it? 14 schools.
But now that I know, that his mom was constantly studying his booty and giving him a hard time about his brain, I'm not as confused as I would have been.
Yeah. So he eventually graduated high school. And so, by that time, he moved in with his mother in Philadelphia. So he went on to attend an American college. And also he went to a university in Laysen, Switzerland. And he, how do you go from Pittsburgh to Switzerland? Evidently rumpology pays good. I don't know.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Rumpology?
But in Switzerland, he worked as a gym teacher and a dorm bouncer. Now, I didn't know dorms had bouncers, but evidently you cause trouble at school. He also sold hamburgers on campus and there was this time he became very interested in theater while this was going on, both acting and writing. And he continued his education at the University of Miami before moving to New York. He moves around a lot in his childhood, is all I can say. But he really had high hopes of breaking into the entertainment industry. And so he was auditioning for parts all over the place. And he also worked at as a movie theater usher, and he cleaned lion cages at the zoo. Now, he was fired from the movie theater for trying to scalp tickets to a customer because, unknown to him, the customer he was trying to sell them to was the owner of the theater. A life of crime is not set up for him. I mean, he's not going to be any good at it. But while he was struggling to make it as an actor, he was talked into making an appearance in a movie called Party at Kitty and Studs. It was a 1970 softcore adult film that was not as explicit as other sex films, but it still required him to appear in the nude. And he was really hesitant to do the movie, but he was sleeping in a bus shelter at the time. And they paid him $200 for 2 days of work. And Stallone said, it was either do that movie or rob somebody, because I was at the end of the rope. He said, I had nowhere else to go. So that made him on a little bit further down the line. And after the success of Rocky in 1976, there's the film producers of the movie, they renamed it The Italian Stallion and re-released it. And in 2010, a 35mm negative of the film and all the worldwide rights to it were auctioned off on eBay for $412,000.
Is he the one that bought it to get it out of circulation?
It doesn't say that. I don't think so. I think somebody else. I really do. Now, before he made Rocky, he was so desperate for money, he was so broke, he had to sell his pet dog for $50. But within just a week, he had sold the Rocky deal, sold the script. He got the money for that, and he got his dog back, but it cost him $3,000 to get it. The dog is a bull mastiff named Butkus. It cost him $3,000 to get it back. He had sold it to a little person, and he had tied his dog up at the store with a sign that said $100. But he finally got a guy to pay him, Jimmy. They called him Little Jimmy, the little person. He paid him $50 for the dog. So when he sold the Rocky script, he went back to see Little Jimmy and said, you know, I want to get my dog back. Well, Little Jimmy lined up his children and said, my kids love this dog. Stallone said, You haven't had him for a week. He said, then little Jimmy wanted to fight me and said he was going to kill me. And he said, here I am facing this crazy little person. And he said, I can't fight him because they'll arrest me because, you know, I'm so much bigger than he is. And anyway, they kept negotiating. So $3,000, a few threats, and he gave him a role in Rocky. Little Jimmy was in Rocky, the first film. He said he finally got his dog back. So, and I looked this up. I looked up. I found the spot. I found the scene where little Jimmy was in. And he just has a couple of lines in the movie. But that's how we got the dog back.
The amazing thing about a story like this is when you sit and listen to it now, after all of these things have already happened, it feels like destiny that he would become this giant global superstar. Like this life that he's had. It just feels like from the moment he came into this world with so many things stacked against him, and then the rumpology thing. Like, I don't even know where to begin with that.
I mean, it's like he's been paying his dues his entire life.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, you know, I never knew that about that issue, that it's really an accident when he was born that happened to him.
Yes.
I always thought that he looked like one of those ancient Roman marble warrior statues.
He does. Do you know where I first heard that story? The very first time I heard the story about the forceps was on, I don't know if you, are you familiar with Paul Harvey?
Yeah.
The rest of the story?
I've lost the Marconi to Paul Harvey, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, okay.
Paul was in his 80s.
Well, you've lost it to so many people, I can't keep track.
So don't blame yourself. But I've lost it to little Jimmy. In 2014, I lost it to Buckus, Stallone's dog. Like, who haven't I? And you know what? This year, I'm losing it to Stallone's ass because rumpology dictates he's the bigger star. So, yeah, Lamont.
But I'll never forget Paul Harvey doing that. And he tells this whole story about this young kid. And he goes, and then he grew up to be Sylvester Stallone. And that's the rest of the story. I just loved it. I loved it. But anyway, now how he came up with the original Rocky, he saw Muhammad Ali and Chuck Wepner fight on March 24th, 1975. He took that as an inspiration. He went home and he stayed up for 20-something hours over a three-day period and wrote the script in 3 days. So he started shopping the screenplay around. He was offered $360,000. But if he sold it to them, they had the right to use whoever they wanted to as a star. They were going to use either Burt Reynolds, Robert Redford, or James Caan. And Stallone refused. He would only sell to someone that would let him play the lead role. And Aaron Winkler offered him $250,000 for the screenplay and to pay him $35,000 to star in the film. But he got 10 points on the back end based on total gross revenue. So when it was all said and done, Stallone came away with close to $2.5 million, which is a lot, but it's nothing compared to what he would have made had he retained the ownership and the licensing rights for the entire franchise. Because think about it. He never owned any Rocky movie or any of the Creed movies. He only got paid for writing and directing and acting in it. He didn't own any of the movies.
Which feels shameful to me because that is his 100% creation.
Oh, yes. Yes, it really is. But listen.
Erwin Winkler, I think, is who owns it.
Mm-hmm. I mispronounced it. Yeah, Erwin Winkler, yeah. And he went on to do a bunch of stuff, too. But listen, let's don't feel sorry for him. Not too bad, because he's obviously had a long and lucrative career as one of the biggest action stars in the history of movies. He has a net worth of over $400 million. In 1976, it was the highest grossing film. It won 3 Oscars, one for Best Picture, one for Best Director, and one for Best Film Editing. Now, there are 6 Rocky movies and 3 Creed movies in the franchise. When you put them all together, they've brought in $1.5 billion with a B. That's pretty big money.
Yeah.
In In 2015, Stallone, he reprised his role as Rocky in Creed, and it earned him an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor. And he's also had great success with the John Rambo character. There are five movies in that made $518 million. And then another franchise that has done very well for him is The Expendables, four movies for a total of $830 million. So he's done really well. Now, his marriages, he certainly is not like the poster boy for Hollywood bad marriages. I mean, he was married to Sasha Kazak in 1974, and they divorced after 11 years. But then Brigitte Nielsen, do y'all remember her?
Oh, yes.
She slipped a promo shot of herself under his Manhattan hotel room door that said, he wrote a note on it, and it said, "My name is Brigitte Nielsen. I'd really like to meet you. Here's my number." And he did meet her, and they got married in 1985, and she co-starred with him in Cobra. Does anybody remember Cobra?
I remember Cobra. It was a terrible movie.
It produced that famous line, "You're the disease, and I'm the cure. And he never took the toothpick. I mean, it was a match. He never took the matchstick out of his mouth. It was unbelievable. I watched a few clips of it when I was doing the research on this, and oh my gosh,
this is terrible.
It was bad. It really was.
But how long did that marriage last when he married her? How long did they end up staying?
Not long. No, they didn't stay together long. They didn't stay together because he met his current wife, Jennifer Flavin, at a restaurant in 1988. Now she was 19 and he was in his early 40s. That just seems locked to me. Does it?
Let me
give y'all some perspective. That's Karamia dating Sylvester Stallone. That's Karamia dating Sylvester Stallone. Y'all good with that? Does that feel right to you? No.
Well, if it was one of my daughters, he'd have had to whoop my ass. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now listen, they were in a relationship up until 1994. And at that time, he wrote Jennifer a 6-page handwritten breakup letter and sent it to her FedEx. Who does that?
I remember.
Is that better
that
than breaking up over text?
Well, yeah, because he had to spend some money to overnight it on FedEx. I remember that because it was, even then, everyone was like, who does that? Breaks up with somebody?
Now, after she got that, she later found out from her modeling agent that Stallone had been having an affair with supermodel Janice Dickinson. Mm. And in February, Dickinson gave birth to a baby girl, and it was rumored that Stallone was the baby daddy. But after a paternity test, the results said, as Maury would say, "You are not the baby's daddy." So Stallone he broke off his relationship with Dixon, and then he goes back to Flavin, and she took him back. And they got married in 1997.
And they're together to this day, aren't they?
Yes. They have.
They broke up for a little while not long ago.
They did.
And then they got back together.
Yeah, they have three daughters, and in August of last year, she filed for divorce.
Sorry, I screwed up your
house. No, you're fine. But here's what you failed to mention. This must have been really serious because Stallone went to a tattoo artist and had them cover his wife's face with one of his dog Butkus. That's pretty serious. Is that not serious?
It was an ugly breakup.
To take your wife's face and cover it with the dog?
I'm not so sure.
I was shocked. When he did that, I was shocked that they reconciled.
Yeah. We talked about this when it happened. I remember us talking about it when it happened.
I mean, thank goodness they reconciled and she canceled the divorce. But let me go ahead and give you the best piece of marriage advice. Whatever you do, don't tattoo your wife's face on your body. Just don't do it. Don't.
And
don't.
If you do, don't cover it with the dog.
I know. But one of the things that Stallone has always talked about, him and Arnold Schwarzenegger have always had sort of a rivalry because they were both huge action stars around the same time. I mean, in the 80s, they were the movies. I mean, every one of them. And so he said, evidently he admits that Schwarzenegger may be a little bit more clever than he is. He said that he recalled that his 1992 bomb, "Stop My Mom or I Will Shoot."
Stop
or My Mom Will Shoot. Yeah, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Stallone told some journalists in 2014 that Schwarzenegger was to blame. He said, "I heard Arnold wanted to do that movie, and after hearing that, I said, no, I want to do it, and he tricked me. He's always been clever." Because that was a terrible, terrible movie.
I never knew that story.
But, you know, listen, he has made some not-so-great movies, but he's made a ton of good ones. And he's not afraid to take a chance. And one of his most critically acclaimed movies that really didn't do great in the box office was Copland. And he gained 40-something pounds so that he could look like an over-the-hill police chief. And he did this to prove that he was not just a muscled-up action star, that he was actually, you know, a real movie star. But it only took in $63 million, but it showed that he's not just that. He's someone that can actually act. And you remember you and Bob interviewed him when he was promoting that film. Yeah, you remember that show?
In fact, Robert De Niro was in that movie as well. And Robert, and so when he would come out of his trailer, Robert would get on the PA and he'd go, "Fat man walking, fat man walking."
Stallone told us that.
Yeah.
Copland is a wonderful movie and he's amazing.
Yes.
In it.
He's really good in it.
He really, really is. He was really nice on the interview, too, I thought.
Yeah, he was great.
He was a good, great guy.
Listen, Rocky is such a gift that if he had done nothing else but the Rocky Balboa thing, I would still be the biggest fan. So, I love those movies.
So I've got a funny little story about the Rocky movie, and that is there was a young man who was in his 20s, went to see that movie. The guy's name was Daniel Rudiger. And Daniel looked at that movie and said, you know, this is an improbable story about a man who overcame great odds to go in and do the heavyweight championship of the world. I think I'm going to make a movie about my life. And Daniel Rudiger is, of course, Rudy, who found a way to get in for one play or a couple plays for Notre Dame football.
Yeah, for Notre Dame.
So the inspiration for Rudy actually came from Rocky.
Which makes perfect sense.
I can't tell you. Yeah. How many people do you think, I mean, we'll never know. How many people watched that movie and it inspired them to do something that they may not have ever done?
And we talked about this at lunch the other day, and I looked it up to double check it. But Henry Winkler and Sylvester Stallone were in a movie called Lords of Flatbush.
Yeah.
So when Henry Winkler was cast as the Fonz, in Happy Days, he would look at the script and he'd say, how would Sylvester Stallone say this? How would Sylvester Stallone do this? And that is, the character came from Sylvester Stallone.
Wait, the Fonz is modeled on Stallone.
On Stallone. Stallone. Before either of them, I mean, they had been in the Lords of Flatbush, but neither of them had been. They weren't stars at that point. No. That movie was long ago. That was before Rocky. That was before Happy Days.
But you know, also in the Lords of Flatbush, Richard Gere was in that movie, and him and Stallone didn't get along. And Stallone went to the director and he said, "One of us has got to go." So they fired Richard Gere, and he said to this day, Richard Gere does not like him. They do not get along.
Well, looky,
and he had some great things to say about Henry Winkler. He said he was just such a great guy. I think they were really good friends.
So you would think, this Richard Gere thing, like you would think Richard Gere has had so much success that he could let it go. Yeah. But let's be real about human nature, and especially in a business like this where luck and timing is as much a part of it as anything, right? Getting him fired from Lords of Flatbush could have cost him everything. Now it didn't, but it could have. And I'm surprised because Richard Gere is a Buddhist and he's really like, you know, not attached to human ego and stuff. I'm surprised he's still holding on to that.
Here's the other thing about that, though. Maybe getting fired from that put him in the path of something else to let. So where he's at is fantastic. So now if he was still in the gutter somewhere, I could see him maybe being bitter. But he should be past worried about that. I mean, you know, they should be laughing about that.
Yeah,
I am. I am sort of shocked at that. Well, it's about time to wrap this up. Stallone has had a huge career, and he's had a big impact on the movie and entertainment industry. He's still not done.
Hold up, Talking Lamar. Can you tell me one more time, like, your butt and your brain?
Two halves. Two halves. They're both two halves.
And you can tell by looking at someone's butt what's going on with their brain. Is that rumpology?
Exactly. And what their future's going to be. Exactly. Exactly.
Max, I'm on my way. Wear something tight. Okay?
I can only speak for myself, but I've had a fantabulous time. I hope you have too. And if you have, don't keep it to yourself. Tell everybody. They will really appreciate it, and I will too. Until next time on Talking Lamar, love y'all bunches. Thank you so much for listening to Talking Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.